There's a temptation that I think we all deal with as humans. And it's the temptation to be content. It's the temptation to say that at some point in our life, certain things are okay. Everything's okay. Everything's going fine. I don't need to give my full effort to these things. I can just kind of coast along on them and just kind of let them go. I think that's a temptation that we all struggle with at times. And of course, what usually happens then is some difficulty arises and it kind of shakes us out of that complacency, saying, you know, maybe I should have put a little more effort towards that. Maybe I shouldn't have assumed everything is okay. Sometimes it even leads to larger problems because there were things that were undone and things that were unsaid. We can see this sometimes, I think, for many of us in our jobs, where we're going along in our jobs and we think that everything's going fine. We're doing what we need to do and we're doing our job well, so we can kind of slack back a little. You know, maybe we aren't as careful as we usually are, or we aren't as thoughtful about how we do our jobs as we usually are. And then, of course, something happens and we get in trouble for slacking off or for not doing our job right or for not doing our job to the thoughtfulness or the carefulness that we should be doing. And we end up causing problems in our jobs. Same thing in our relationships. You know, our relationships where we think our relationships are going well and we start to take others for granted. We start to take that these relationships are always going to be there, whether it's with a spouse or with family or friends or what have you. And by taking this relationship for granted, we end up taking others for granted. We end up causing problems within our relationships and hurt our relationship with them. Well, this can happen in our walk with our Lord. In our lives, in our relationship with our Lord, we can become content. We can think that we're doing everything we need to do. We've learned everything we need to learn. And so now we've hit a level area and we can just coast along. We can just drift along through life. We don't have to really do much more. The problem with this is, as Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, there are no plateaus in the spiritual life. If we're not moving uphill, we're sliding downhill. We need to be continually growing in our relationship with our Lord. We can't assume that we can hit a level ground, that we can coast. We can't allow ourselves to become content. Because as Fulton Sheen said, either we're moving forward or we're sliding backwards. So we need to be constantly moving forwards. The scriptures today warn us of the need of perseverance. And I would argue that it warns us in three ways. The need to persevere in actively living the faith, the need to persevere in repentance for sins, and the need to persevere in evangelization. So what do I mean by these three things? How does the scripture describe these three things? Well, first of all, persevering in actively living the faith. I think many Catholics get to that point in their lives where they're content with just merely going to Mass and merely being a good person. That's all I need to do, and that's enough. Whatever else I do, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm a good person and I go to Mass, that's enough. Some Catholics take it even further. They cut one of those two out. Either as long as I'm going to Mass, I'm good enough, or as long as I'm a good person, that's good enough. Well, but the problem is that's not the case. Our faith needs to be nourished. That's what our Lord was saying in the parable of the fig tree today. He was telling us, you know, that we need to cultivate and nourish our faith. It's like a tree. If you plant a tree and you want that tree to grow strong and hardy and produce good fruit, first of all, you need to plant it in good soil. But then you need to fertilize it to give it the nutrients that it needs to grow strong and hardy. And then we need, of course, to water it so it can use those nourishments. Well, the same thing with our faith life. We need to nourish our faith life through actively living it. We can't just allow it to go dormant. You know, of course, we do this, we nourish it through receiving the sacraments of Eucharist and confession. And I would, you know, we need to do this on a regular basis. And by regular basis, I mean confession more than once or twice a year. And of course, in receiving our Lord at Mass every week. That's how we nourish our faith. We nourish our faith through developing a devotional life, such as the rosary, Eucharistic adoration, things like that, all these different devotions which are available to us in the church. We nourish it through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, as we heard in the opening prayer this morning. We nourish it through scriptural reflection, not merely reading the scriptures, but reading the scriptures and then reflecting on them, chewing on them, finding how God is speaking to us through those scriptures. The same way we nourish it through study of the church's teaching. Again, not merely reading what the church teaches, but reflecting on them and how those teachings influence our lives. And then once we have done that, something I think many Catholics miss, we need to discuss what we've been reflecting on in the church teachings and the scriptures, what we've been praying about, with other Catholics who are seeking to live their faith. We need to have both aspects, both meditating on it and discussing it. That's how we nourish our faith. If we do that, if we nourish our faith, we will see the fruit, just as with the fig tree. When it is nourished, they will see fruit. Second thing we need to persevere in is repentance from sin. Now, one thing I've heard many, many, many Catholics say, you know, one of these two errors. I've heard a lot of Catholics say either one of these. The first one I've heard is, "Oh, Father, I can't go back to church. I can't go back there. You don't know what I've done. I'm too bad a sinner to go back to church." And I've heard many Catholics use almost those exact words. The other side you hear is, "Well, I don't need to go to confession. You know, I haven't done anything that bad." And they always make sure to emphasize that. You know, hear both sides of it. But it's the same error. And in response to those, I would point out our scriptures today. To the first error of someone who says, "I've done too much bad, too many bad things," our Lord says, "If you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." To the second, to those who say they don't need to go to confession, St. Paul says, "Whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall." We all have sins that we need to repent from, every single one of us. That's part of being a sinful, part of sinful humanity. That's why we have the sacrament of confession. First of all, to go to God and ask for His forgiveness and to hear those words of absolution through which we receive that forgiveness. But second of all, just as important, we receive His grace to draw closer to Him. That we will no longer tolerate that sin in our lives. That we will avoid the sin in the future and will no longer be content with it. That we will seek to draw closer to God. The third thing we need to persevere is evangelization. And what I mean by this, you know, spreading the gospel to the world, is not just to non-Catholics or non-Christians, but also to those in our community who are Catholic, who are not active in their faith. You know, there are a great number of people in this area who have received the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, First Eucharist. They have received catechesis. They have learned about their faith, whether it's through the school when it was still open or through the religious ed program. But they were not evangelized. How do I know that? Because if you went to them and asked them, "So why is it so important we receive these sacraments? Why is it so important we follow these teachings?" They can't tell you the basic answer that every person who believes in Christ and has been evangelized should be able to give. The reason why these things are so important is our salvation and our living our faith in Christ. That's the basic answer to the gospel. And so many Catholics can't give that answer. They cannot explain why it is so important we live these things. And as a result of not being evangelized here in the Catholic Church, many of them began to attend other churches. Maybe because of marriage. You know, they married someone from another church and just started going to church with them instead of coming back to the Catholic Church. Or maybe they were evangelized by other churches. The Mormon Church is so good at that. Finding someone who they have fallen away from their faith, they have not really been evangelized into their faith, and they bring them into theirs. Another way we see people who haven't been evangelized, they have no visible faith life. None. Not at all. They live just like anybody else, like those who do not believe in our Lord at all. You know, if we have a visible, active faith life, it influences our daily lives. We're not perfect. We're going to be sinners. But there is still that influence. But there are many Catholics, they don't have that. You don't see that in their lives. So we're called to follow the example of Moses. You know, Moses went to the Israelite people who, they knew of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew who he was. Were they following him? There really isn't a lot of evidence in the scriptures that they were. They very likely were following the gods of Egypt. You know, they were under they were slaves to the people of Egypt, and they were probably following their gods. But through Moses, the Israelites were called to follow God to the promised land. They followed Moses to that promised land. They left Egypt because of Moses' call. We are called to evangelize those around us, especially the Catholics. You know, our families, our friends, those in our area who are Catholic, who have fallen away. We need to be calling them, encouraging them, supporting them in their response to follow God's call. The call to an active faith life, a call to follow the gospel. And we especially need to be doing this with the children and the teens in our area. You know, because we can't assume that they are growing up in a faith, in a culture that is familiar with our Lord. I would argue that our culture is not only unfamiliar with our Lord, does not know our Lord, but is actively becoming hostile to him. So we need to reach out to these children and help them grow in their faith. Because we can no longer assume that our children in this community have examples of Christian faith. Sadly, not even from their parents, because many of their parents don't have an active Christian faith. And for you parents who are bringing your children and who are teaching them about their faith, I thank you and I encourage you in continuing to do that. You're the first teachers of the faith, not us. But we need to reach out to these children, because if they aren't seeing it from their parents, they don't see it as anything important. And then what they do receive in catechesis, whether through religious education or wherever, it's not seen as important to them, and it's something that goes in one ear and out the other. They forget it as quickly as they've learned it. And this evangelization needs to be done by all of us, not just those who are teaching over in the religious ed program, but by all of us. And in fact, that's one thing we need to do as a parish, is we need to work on the religious ed program to make it so it's not just teaching the kids the faith, but it's evangelizing them. It's making them into disciples of Christ, that they hunger for the teachings. But we all need to persevere in this evangelization. That's what the call of the new evangelization is about. That's why Blessed John Paul II made that such an important part of his papacy. And now Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, why that was such an important part of his papacy, is reaching out and persevering in evangelizing with the gospel, especially those who should have heard it because they were raised Catholic. So let our scriptures today be a wake-up call, that we're no longer content with the status quo, no longer content with where we are in our spiritual life, but that we may persevere in an active faith life, persevere in repentance from sin, and persevere in evangelization.